Money is rarely an easy thing to talk about with family. Add the holidays into the mix, a time when people spend lots of money and lots of time with family, and it gets even more difficult. Michelle Singletary is a nationally syndicated personal finance columnist for The Washington Post, and she joins us in our studios to give some advice on how to handle the hard conversations about finances with relatives. She'll also be answering some specific questions that listeners have sent in. Thanks for being with us, Michelle.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Let's start with a question from Christy in Denver. She's pretty recently married, and she and her husband disagree about how to spend their money. She says that when they talk about it, they always wind up at an impasse.
He would like to spend our money that we earn on the latest and greatest iPhone or Starbucks, whereas I feel like I'd love to be saving the money that we have for the future. What can you recommend as far as when we do come to that impasse? Is there a way to compromise?
This resonates with me, too, because, like, what relationship doesn't have this problem? Money is so personal. It's a reflection of what we think is important enough to spend money on.
Absolutely. You know, with couples, I suggest that they find a course or something in the community that they can go to and let a third person be your advocate if you are the saver, because you're not going to get through to your spouse. So find a program at your church, find a program at the community college, a financial course, and make that's neutral ground, right? Nobody's coming with any baggage. It's like you got to save because you got to save for retirement. They're telling the spouse something that they've probably heard, but hearing it from another person might resonate with that. If that doesn't work, then come up with sort of, okay, let's do a budget, and then you can have an allowance, right? Some people don't, especially the guys, they don't like to have it called an allowance. But every month you say, okay, listen, honey, you get $100, I get $100. You can spend it on whatever you want. Now, if you want that iPhone, it's going to take you 7 months. You know, save up your $100.
Right, budget as you can.
Exactly. And that way, they can have the freedom to do, like, I don't like to spend at all. Like, my thing is to save. So my husband loves to play golf. Well, it's okay if he spends his allowance money on golf. If I'm just going to save mine.
Right.
But I'm not stressed anymore because it's a specified amount of money. And I found that that really helps couples.
Okay, so next question comes from a caller. In the spirit of advice columns, we'll just call her Taxed in Tampa. She has a 20-year-old sister who has two small children, and that sister needs a lot of financial support.
We don't live in the same place, so that makes it a lot harder for me to be there for her physically. And so it would be easy to support her monetarily, but it's not financially easy for me. So I'm not sure how to have a conversation with a person that needs a lot of help, but to have to understand that I can't provide that to the level that she's expecting.
So what do you tell her? How do you tell your sister, I can't help you as much as I want to?
Yeah. You know, there is a really powerful word in the English language. It's just two letters. No. And here's why she needs to say no to her sister. She's basically enabling her. When you step in and rescue people all the time, they don't get to grow up. They don't get to become financially responsible because you're stepping in the way all the time. Now, if there's something, you know, they need food or things like that, okay. And then her sister may need to make some other decisions. Maybe her sister actually needs to move where her big sister can help her and it's not such a financial strain. But every time we rescue people, we don't give them a chance to rescue themselves, right? And she already said that she's kind of stressed. And I tell this example all the time. I was a new mother. The first time I took an airline flight, I remember the flight attendant saying that when the oxygen mask dropped down, to put it on yourself first.
Yeah.
And as a new parent, I was just outraged. But what then, as they explained, because then if you are gasping for air, you are going to pass out before you can even put the mask on your child. That's what's happening to that sister. She's going to pass out financially. And then both of them are going to be in trouble. So she's going to have a hard conversation with her sister.
We have one more question, this one written by Groveling in Gaithersburg. She writes, as the parent of a high school senior who is actively applying to colleges, I am wondering what is the most tactful way to broach the subject of contributing to college with my daughter's grandparents, all four of whom have the means to help. Are there tax incentives? It's as simple as, you know, how do you ask for help?
Okay, so she's not going to like this answer. Uh-oh. That is not their responsibility, and I don't think she should ask. That's their
Why
money.
Not?
Because it's her child, and she had that kid. And so now the tough conversation isn't with the grandparents. It's with that child. And it was a Maryland person, correct? We have a great community college system in Maryland, as many states do. So she could say, listen, babe, go to community college for 2 years. I can afford that out of pocket. And then when you finish, you can go to a four-year university. And in Maryland, if you keep a certain grade point average, you get into the best, you know, Maryland state schools. And that's the conversation you should have. The conversation is not with the grandparents. Now, if they feel like they want to help, and they come to her, yeah, sure, I love your help. But she should not be asking them for money to send her kid to school.
So when can you ask for money?
You cannot ask for money. You know, I mean, if you're in a situation where, say, you've lost your job or you're having some difficulty and you need family help, then you say, listen, guys, you know, like my sister, when we had that big government shutdown, she lost her job. Mm. I hope she's not listening because she's going to kill me.
Uh-oh.
But, do no fault of her own.
Yeah.
And so we got together and said, okay, how can we help you? And so for a year, my husband and I paid her car payment. And so we were able to give her some breathing room. So then after the year, she was better situated. She could, you know, go back to do and pay her bills. But you don't want, you know, and if you really need it, just say, I need some help. Don't ask for a loan. I don't believe in lending.
Oh.
You say,
I always thought that would be the easier ask.
No. Please don't ask and don't loan anyone any money. You give it. And if you need that money back, do not give it to them. That's the best way to ruin a relationship and your family. I never loan anyone money. I give it to them with all kinds of stipulations. Like, you got to show me your budget. I got to help you do some stuff.
Oh, you got some strings attached.
Oh, I got some strings. If you take my money, I had a lot of strings. But I'm very clear about my strings because my goal is that I want this not to be a regular thing. I want to show you how to budget so that you don't have to come back to me.
Michelle Singletary, nationally syndicated personal finance columnist for The Washington Post. Thank you so much for all this advice. This was so much fun to have you here.
Oh, it's great. I loved being here. Thank you.